This podcast includes information provided by the issuer and does not express the views of the interviewer. This podcast may also include forward-looking statements by the issuer that involve certain risks and uncertainties to its business. Because forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, the issuer's actual results could differ from those indicated in this podcast. Welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Kraft. Thank you all so much for the support and for tuning in to the Planet Microcap Podcast. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Planet Microcap, or you can follow me at Bobby K. Kraft. That's B-O-B-B-Y-K-K-R-A-F-T. You are now listening to episode 4 of the Planet Microcap Podcast. Before we get started with the interview for this episode of the podcast, I wanted to catch you up on what we featured last week on StockNewsNow.com. We published articles highlighting video interviews with the following companies: GeoVax Labs Inc., GOVX on the OTCQB, High Power International Inc., HPJ on the NASDAQ, Potbotics Inc., a private company, and First Majestic Silver Corp., AG on the NYSE, and FR on the TSX. We also published a Wall Street View with Sean Broderick, the natural resource specialist for the Oxford Club, where he shares his thoughts on China, gold, junior mining, and more. So I enlisted the help of Tom Shaughnessy from secretcaps.com to help me understand stock screeners. You know, it's funny, I met Tom recently on Twitter, and he sent me this video he did on stock screeners right around the same time I wanted to do an episode about them. Okay, not my typical expert that's been doing this a long time. Tom is still in college and in learning mode. But the reason I wanted to speak with him on the topic is twofold. Because he is still in school, he doesn't have the time to go to conferences. He's got midterms, finals, papers, you know. But he's figured out a way to start investing in microcaps, and he begins his search for ideas using stock screeners. The goal for this episode, I hope, is you and I gain a better understanding of stock screeners, what they are, how to use them, and how they can help turn us on to new investing ideas. Thank you again for tuning in to episode 4 of the Planet Microcap Podcast. I hope you enjoy my interview with Tom Shaughnessy, but first, a word from our sponsor.
A comprehensive streaming of market data, research, and portfolio management application for you. QuoteStream is a real-time streaming quotes and research system designed for the day trader, retail investor, institutional investor, both new and old. QuoteStream offers low latency, tick-by-tick data, advanced charting, comprehensive technical analysis, news, and research. With no software to install and no servers to maintain, QuoteStream is the ideal solution for you. Go to StockNewsNow.com and start your free 7-day trial. Click the QuoteStream banner in the header or real-time quotes in the nav bar to get started building and managing your investments.
So in this episode of the Planet Microcap Podcast, I spoke with Tom Shaughnessy. He's the founder of secretcaps.com, and our topic today are stock screeners and what they're all about. Tom, welcome to the Planet Microcap Podcast.
Robert, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So let's start with a quick background, who you are, what you do. Tell me a little about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely, Robert. So I'm a 21-year-old student at Rutgers Business School, going for finance, and I'm also a full-time investor that I do in my free time. I started investing when I was younger. I moved over to Seeking Alpha, and then I created my own website, secretcaps.com, to focus on extensive research on undiscovered microcap companies.
Cool. So today's episode that we're talking about, it's one of our educational ones where we really want to get into stock screeners. In a recent episode that I did, we talked about doing quantitative due diligence, and one of the first steps that you do that has been the trend is that a lot of savvy microcap investors are using stock screeners in order to find new ideas or to narrow down the search for ideas that they think are going to be great investments, hopefully. So how did you first learn about stock screeners?
Yeah, well, I mean, most people are akin to stock screeners. I mean, a lot of the brokers have their own stock screeners on their websites. You know, whether you use E-Trade or Fidelity, or you just Google and you find your own stock screener, a lot of people have used them. But I think a problem is that not a lot of people use them to screen for microcaps, and they definitely should start using them.
So what is a stock screener?
So a stock screener, it's simple. It's just an easy way to put in some parameters. Hopefully, sometimes you can get more specific. And the point is to simply narrow down your search companies to the ones that you specifically want to look for. So if you want to look for technology companies, or if you want to look for individual sectors or industries, you can start screening down, because as we both know, there's thousands of companies out there, thousands of microcaps, and weeding out a lot of the bad ones that don't fit your investing criteria can really ease down on your due diligence, so you could only do homework on the names that are most suited for you.
Cool. So the reason that I wanted to do an interview with Tom, just for our audience so that you know, is that I've been following Tom for a while, and he also did a great video on stock screeners that he recently put out last week. So I wanted to really talk more about it with him, because he put in the time and the effort to really help the audience at large who are interested in microcap investing to understand how you can screen for stocks and be your own self-directed investor. So on that note, Tom, in your opinion, why are stock screeners important, and what method of research did they replace?
Thanks, Bobby. Thanks for the mention as well. The educational video went well. I did it because a lot of my members on my website are aware of stock screeners, as I'm sure a lot of your followers are as well, but they weren't using them correctly, so I tried to shed some light. It really did go over well. But back to your question, stock screeners are definitely important for microcap investing. I stress this a lot, that it's not an endpoint, it's a starting point, and it should only be used as a tool, not as your only avenue to find microcaps, because, put simply, a lot of the research, a lot of the data on microcaps could be old. Stock screeners are inherently not forward-looking. All the data's been sitting there. You just have to sift through it correctly. But the point is that when you put the right parameters in, you get a list of 20, 30, maybe 50 microcaps that meet your criteria, it really narrows down the search, that you can focus on, doing your research on the companies that you want to dig into. And, it really doesn't replace anything else as a form of research. It really is its own animal. But, in addition to, doing their own homework, investors should certainly utilize a stock screener. I mean, I'm not screening every day because, to be honest with you, once you put your parameters in, the names don't change very often. That's a plus in microcap world, because these ideas take months, years to even play out, which is a good thing. But you should be screening at least once a week, at least once a week, not every day, but because you have to do your homework on the names you find, right?
Right. And for you personally, how do you use stock screeners, and what do you use them for?
That's a great question, Bobby. And I have certain criteria that I put in. I dig in a little bit deeper on my own video, so I don't want to go too in depth with it. But I look for, certain names in the technology sector, or certain names in certain industries that meet my criteria. And basically what I'm looking for is, there's a lot of, 99% of the microcap world are horrible companies, put simply. They're not funded, they're not growing, their management teams aren't great. There's a lot of red flags that pop up. So if you can focus on pointing the red flags out, it makes taking names off your list a lot faster. And a screener helps with that. So I usually look for high growth companies, so I'm looking for revenue growth. I look for a clean share structure, so hopefully under 100 million shares outstanding, something along those lines. I'm looking for insider ownership, which is huge, because the managers are the ones running your company. It's not, the vertical hierarchies aren't there like in larger companies. It's just you and the managers, so you have to bet on them. I'm also looking for items such as low institutional ownership. Institutions can't sell what they don't own. That's a big thing for me. There's a lot of other criteria in there. I mean, if I want to look for, SaaS-based companies, I put in a high gross margin, over 50%. Some of those parameters are examples.
Yeah, I mean, that's the cool thing about stock screeners, is there's a lot of different things that you can put in, the different parameters that you can put in, and at varying levels as well.
Bobby, I totally agree. I mean, you can do a set screen, and I did a set screen in my educational video, which is good, but it's specific. And, I recommend that your followers just get on a screener and just play around with it. Because the problem with screeners is, and I'll give you an example, is that the data is, old, and it's hard to get, clear-cut data for microcap companies. I'm not saying that it's not out there. I'm just saying that, the data can be a little construed. For example, if you put in, insider ownership, greater than 20%, you know, a lot, it'll screen out a lot of companies that should be on there that do have over 20% ownership. It's just, it's hard for the filings to reflect, and sometimes the data can be a little construed. It's not the screener's fault. It's just that microcaps, it's harder to obtain the data in the screeners.
So you actually kind of lead into my next question, and that is, why are stock screeners important when researching microcap stocks?
I mean, stock screeners are great. I wouldn't specifically put them as researching. I would put them as narrowing down your watch list and finding companies to research. I say that because, you know, a few of the key elements of microcap investing you can't get from a microcap screener. You have no idea how competent management is. They get on 99% of the company. That doesn't make them animals. You know, it doesn't give them drive or execution. So, and there's no way to tell a story or understand a thesis, you know, understand new growth avenues. There's no way to, you know, you can't, you really, it's hard to look through SEC filings on a screener. So I wouldn't necessarily call a stock screener a researching stand, you know, item. I would more call it an item to narrow down your watch list and get companies to research.
Nice. So you kind of brought this up a little bit earlier, and I wanted to kind of get the full spectrum of what you can actually look for. So basically what I mean is, what kind of data can you screen for when you're using a stock screener?
Well, that's the great thing about stock screeners, and it really depends on the one you use. You can pretty much screen for whatever you want on a stock screener. That's why I love them. You can screen for anything from financial information. You know, it's a big word, but when you get into a stock screener, it gets specific pretty quick. I mean, you can look for everything from trailing 12-month revenue growth to, you know, certain balances of cash and certain levels of debt. You can get very specific very fast. Is that what your question is asking?
Yeah, basically. I mean, like I said, you brought up a couple of parameters that you use when you're screening for different stocks and microcap stocks. I just basically was looking for, like, you know, what are even more things that you could actually look for that you couldn't maybe find conventionally when you're on Yahoo Finance, just looking at one company and hoping that you get the information you're looking for. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you mean. And one of the key points of a stock screener is that when you're looking at one company on Yahoo Finance, you know, it's easy to look at the data. But when you're looking through a screener, you can see all of the companies that meet that criteria.
Right.
So if you're looking for a certain amount of company that, a certain, you know, set of companies that's trading under their revenue, you know, one times trailing 12-month revenue, something along those lines, you can look at every company that meets that criteria. So, you know, some people say, you know, this company may, you might find company A on Yahoo Finance, it might look fantastic, but on a stock screener, you can look through company A through Z that meet all of those criteria. And comparing them really puts the company into perspective, which is another great item of screeners.
You know what, I'm gonna challenge you because you're in college, so I'm gonna do a four-part question. So how many stock screeners are out there, and what makes one better than another? And then how many do you use? And as I said, this is a four-part question. So what are the differences between the stock screeners available, and how do you place a value on the different stock screeners that are available?
That's definitely a big question. How much time do I have?
Plenty.
The key is, a lot of the stock screeners are very powerful, but the problem is not many investors use them for microcap investing, and the ones that do use them for microcap investing know what they're doing, so it's hard to tell someone on, you know, that's using an E-Trade stock screener to screen for microcaps, or because the prices, you know, you have to screen, and the screener itself has to have the information and data on the companies, and a lot of them don't. So their screeners are definitely different. I mean, do I go screener to screener and put in the same amount of data and see how many, you know, names come up? No, I don't do that. But the point is that you can tell which screeners are powerful, because when you do your due diligence, you can see if the data is correct. So there is one screener I use in particular. I know the guy that owns it and runs it, I think Lenny. The screener is called screener.co. It's the one I profiled in my microcap educational video at secretcaps.com. And it's an extremely powerful screener. It's very specific, and the parameters are insane. You can get very specific very fast. And that's what I like about it. Granted, like I said earlier, you know, no screener is going to have all the data. But there are a lot of screeners out there. I mean, if you do a Google search and you go, you know, microcap stock screener, you'll get, you know, 30, 40 names. You know, another one I use that's free is called FinViz. That's another great screener because you could scroll down and look through the profile names. But at the end of the day, you know, I usually stick to one screener, but you really shouldn't. You should be using a few screeners. You should be playing around with the data or your parameters quite generously because, you know, if one falls through the cracks, then you're losing money at the end of the day. You know, value on a stock screener, do I value paying for ScreenerCo? Yep, I definitely do because there's no way I could get that data through E-Trade or Fidelity or through a stock screener like that. And it's not to say that they're not powerful companies. It's just to say that they don't really place an emphasis on a niche market like this to get data when everyone just wants to screen for AT&T and Yahoo.
So have you noticed any conflicts of information between the stock screeners? I mean, you kind of got into it, but let's say using the differences between paid-for screeners and non-paid-for screeners.
In my opinion, the paid-for screeners are definitely more powerful inherently. I mean, there are screeners out there that, are great. Like I mentioned before, finviz.com, F-I-N-V-I-Z.com has a screener. It's pretty powerful. It basically has all of the same names. The only problem is that you can't get that specific. So, for example, on ScreenerCo, you can put in exact values. On FinViz, you can only do less than, under $300 million in market cap, for example. It's not as specific. But outside of screeners, Bobby, there are some problems. I mean, the TSX Venture Exchange has thousands of microcaps on it. I don't know the exact number, north of 2,000. And a lot of the screeners don't pick up a lot of their data because their filings are placed on CEDAR, FCDAR.com. So you have to do your own, for a market like that, stock screener really doesn't help you at all. So I guess that's a conflict of interest because you have to go on sites like, CEDAR itself or TSXMoney.com, and you have to really dig through the filings yourself. So a screener definitely shouldn't be your only option, as I said before. It should really just be one tool in your toolbox.
Okay, so let's say for someone who's been investing for 30 years or just getting started, how could everybody take advantage of the availability and using of stock screeners?
Yeah, it's a great question. And stock screeners should definitely be used by investors of, all experience levels. And the key here is, you have to stay within your circle of competence when you're microcap investing. I mean, me personally, I don't invest in several sectors. I don't invest in finance or financials because I can't value banks. I'm not good at it. I don't invest in, biotech or healthcare, utilities. I stay away from energy. I stay away from a lot of names. So, that screeners can help me stay within my circle of competence by narrowing the list down. And that's just general, sectors and industries. But once you start getting, more specific, such as I'm looking for 50% gross margin or better companies, I don't want any institutional ownership, I want, $1 million or better in cash in the bank, I want debt-free. It really narrows down the list so that when you're doing your homework, you can focus on finding the thesis and finding the growth avenues instead of, having to dig 30 minutes just to find out that the company can't support its, cash burn for the next 2 quarters.
Are there any stock screeners out there that are like the go-to ones for certain information and or sectors?
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, ScreenerCo is definitely my favorite one for microcap companies just because it's specific, the data is up to date, and it's very expansive. It hits on most, if not all, microcaps. Definitely not all, but it is a bulk of them. Outside of that, I like to go on TSX Money to find the CEDAR companies. But, as I said, once you get your screener down, you can save your screens. So it's basically not like I'm, revamping everything every day. I'm not revamping my parameters. But I'm playing around with it quite often. But, the bulk of the time after you get your parameter set is doing your own research. So, I mean, you should spend time screening, but, 95, if not more, of the time should be spent researching the companies that pop up on your list.
Right, of course. But, as the whole point of, what we're doing here and then, the video that you did, there's somewhat of an art to it. It's understanding the different parameters that are out there, which I'm probably going to be getting into in the next episode or two. But, from the get-go, because the main question I get asked all the time, especially after the first couple episodes we did, was, all right, okay, I'm excited. Microcaps, I'm in. Let's do this. Now what? And I was joking about it with in our first episode, too, on it. And the main answer that my first guest said was, one way in which I find ideas is through a stock screener, and obviously, of course, it's just your first step, it's that first impetus to get you into, all right, okay, these are just getting you familiar with the names themselves, before you're, going out there and just saying, okay, I'm going to pick five companies. I'm just going to call them. You know, this at least helps you with.
Bobby, you need a stock. I'm not trying to diminish it at all. Stock screeners are very powerful tools. Yeah. They can help you find companies you've never heard of, and they can narrow down your list so you focus on exactly what you want to look for. There's a huge value on stock screeners, but, you know, as we both agree, the research afterwards is definitely key. But, you
without
know,
question.
With stock screeners, you wouldn't find a lot of these names if it wasn't for stock screeners, and I've run into that myself.
And so just to kind of finish that last question, so there's not really any that are, like, specific for certain information or sectors. It's more of you can kind of use any of them and narrow it. You could start with, like, just that exchange. So even if it's investors who are looking at healthcare or energy, they can still go on that stock screener and choose healthcare. And obviously they'd have to put in different parameters than, let's say, revenue-generating technology companies. But it's still available for them to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it would be very hard, and I don't see a reason why a stock screener would distinguish itself as just a healthcare screener or just a financial screener. It wouldn't make much sense for them. You're right. The art, it's definitely an art form. I mean, anybody that is good at screening can tell you that. I mean, the parameters come quick once you get it, but, you know, deciding on what you want to look for is huge. And after that, you can really get specific and narrow down within the industry itself that you're looking for. So you could, you know, narrow down healthcare companies, you can narrow down technology companies, whatever you're looking for. But yeah, stock screeners compose pretty much every industry you're looking for.
So Tom, you've been doing this for a while. Let's say, what would you want added to a stock screener? The favorite one that you're using that you think is missing that you'd like to see there?
I think, to be honest with you, the thing that's missing is probably, you know, I'd love to be able to research the names within a stock screener itself. So, I mean, screener code, the one I use the most, I'm not trying to, you know, plug the screener. You know, I'm not getting anything out of it. It's just the one I like.
Don't worry. I'm sending this to their customer service. Don't worry.
I hope you do. Maybe Lenny will buy me dinner. But the point is that, you know, screener code, for example, you can click on a company and you could do some, you know, cursory research. But I'd love to be able to research the names. You know, a lot of the screeners don't have, you know, like a news feed. I've noticed that you could just, you know, see Yahoo Finance headlines. I mean, you don't stop your research there, but it's good to stay current. And I mean, you have to, you don't want to look at a company from 2005. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's one of the best, actually on stocknewsnow.com, we also have a screener as well. And I was curious as to what your thoughts was on this. When it comes to incorporating video and original content, does that make, like, for instance, an SNN screener more useful in the process of learning about these different microcap companies?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you want to learn everything you can, and it's, you know, if you read something wrong, you know, that could really turn you off for a company. And a lot of these screeners only have, you know, a 500 word or 250 word bio on a company. I mean, there's no way I can understand a story or thesis or growth avenues or anything really from that. I mean, I can only understand what they're doing. And, you know, I've noticed with a lot of technology companies, the bios themselves, I mean, can be kind of intimidating. I mean, it takes me a while to understand what the company's doing, you know, past the bio. I mean, it can be something totally unrelated. So I think that if they can, the screeners, you know, hopefully Stock News Now, you guys can do it. I'm not sure if you are yet, but if you can incorporate something like that, up-to-date content, et cetera, that could go a long way for investors trying to understand news stories because, you know, as you know, with microcaps, a new idea, a new product, a new solution, a new launch could mean all the difference. And I don't mean that binarily. I just mean, you know, it could be worth it to have up-to-date content along with the screener itself.
Well, I'm happy to tell you that if you happen to find any company or microcap company within your screener, you can actually go on, you could stay on stocknewsnow.com and you could see all, hopefully, the most up-to-date information about the companies on there and, you know, whether or not we've done a video with them or a Q&A, but we actually provide the news feeds. So, you know, anytime that you're trying to make sure that that information is up to date, you can actually stay on the site and look for it, which is relatively new, actually. We just put it in, I think, over the last couple months.
Yeah, no, that's huge. That's a big plus for your viewers. I mean, that certainly helps because, you know, going in between, you know, we're not perfect. You know, none of us are robots. I mean, going in between a few sites, you can get lost on an idea. You know, your phone rings, you're looking at something, you can get sidetracked pretty easily. So if you can stay on the same site and see up-to-date content with your screener, that can go a long way.
Do you believe everything that you find on screeners?
That's a good question. I mean, it depends the items themselves. So, I mean, when I use a screener, I put, you know, last interim filing as a parameter, within a year. So I'm not looking at companies from, you know, like 2005, 2000, because I don't want to invest in a great company that was great in 2005. But outside of that, it depends. I mean, revenue numbers, deep specific financial information, I tend to believe. I don't see why I wouldn't. If I do my due diligence and I see, things not adding up, then that's different. I don't usually run into that. But a few items that do, don't really stream into the screeners as well are, numbers that you have to compute from filings. So, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, as I said before, ownership, insider ownership. That can get a little convoluted on the screeners because of holdings and, the filings don't really reflect too easily. But, the information on there is pretty solid. It's pretty specific as well.
I was just going to say, and this is the last two-part question. Trust me, there's not a test at the end of this, okay? So you can relax.
I hope not.
So where is the information aggregated from on stock screeners, and how up-to-date is that information?
I mean, to be honest with you, Bobby, I'm not exactly sure how the screener gets the information. I'm pretty sure they, take the information off of the SEC filings or, update it. And hopefully they're not just, getting data from Yahoo or something and putting it in there. Because, as we know, the information can get a little convoluted. But, every screener has their own magic sauce, and I guess that's what distinguishes one from the other, and how powerful they are.
I was going to say, maybe they get it from, they probably get it from the exchanges, I would hope.
To be honest with you, I would hope, too. The problem with microcaps, as we both know, is, some of them don't file, or their filings are, they're not, A to A on every one. They could be different. Right. Numbers can be in different places, the discussions, and how much does one company microcap have to report versus another, if it's on pink sheets or OTC or whatever. So it could definitely get changed up a little bit. And that's what I'm saying. The information isn't always perfect, as you know.
Okay, Tom, we're wrapping up. We're about to wrap up. Let me get your final thoughts on stock screeners and what the takeaway is for this interview from your perspective.
Yeah, sure, Bobby. I think it's great that you're having this lesson on screeners for your following. I think microcap screening should be a tool in every investor's toolkit. They shouldn't be getting their news from one source. They should be screening to find companies that they want to look at. And, a lot of investors will come across a company they love, a SaaS company, technology company, and that's fantastic. But using Stock Screener and using, much of the same parameters and companies that they like to invest in, they can find other names that may be better within the same sector or industry and parameters. So I definitely think it's great that you have a Stock Screener on Stock News now. And I think your microcap followers should certainly give it a look and dig into it and play around with the screener and have a good time with it.
And where can all of our followers go to follow you on Twitter? Because just to let everybody know, Tom is one of the more active tweeters. I think that's symptomatic of our generation, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, I'm trying not to put every thought on there, only every other thought. But you can follow me at TOMS_119. And you can see my microcap educational video at secretcaps.com. It's free. You just have to click on the link and view it on YouTube. I think it's pretty educational. I'd love to have it on your site as well if you're open for that, Bobby.
Oh, I'll definitely provide a link in this interview, everybody. So if you want to go check out his video, you'll be able to click the link in when I post it on Podbean and also on LinkedIn.
Bobby, if you want to get more specific in a follow-up interview, I'm always open to that. We can go through some example screens for your followers, whatever you're looking for.
Sounds good, man. All right, let's wrap it up. Tom, thank you so much for coming on to the Planet Microcap podcast. I look forward to seeing you at an upcoming event. And everybody, go check out his stuff. Tom Shaughnessy at secretcaps.com. Tom, thank you again.
Thanks, Bobby. Always a pleasure. Thanks again, Bobby.
Hi, I'm Shelley Kraft, and this is Ask Mr. Wall Street. Today's question is, how do you discover and find new microcap ideas? When I first started on Wall Street, I didn't know the difference between IBM and the penny stock or microcap company. That was over 30 years ago, by the way. Back then, I focused on IPOs, which was a built-in base of new companies going public, most of which were small enterprises, also known as emerging growth companies. New ideas were few and far between, so finding good new ideas was difficult, and tracking them even harder. Over time, the amount of microcap companies has grown exponentially, which makes selecting and discovering winning new ideas even more difficult. However, there are many tools available today, from stock screeners to research and newsletters to microcap conferences. My system for finding new ideas is tried and true. I revert back to the old school, identifying a problem and finding the solution. In some cases, the problem could be so new that a solution is yet to be developed. But searching for that first mover or company in this space is essential to identifying and recognizing an opportunity early for a potential huge upside. Obviously, billions have been made by investors with more than a good nose or lucky streak, and billions have been lost by investors buying story stocks or being misguided by false information or misleading details. I remember the months after 9/11, when the world as we knew it changed forever. The fervor created for security, detection, first responding, civil defense, airport defense, life-saving equipment, and communications was in hyper overdrive, looking for answers and solutions. The outcome of these dire circumstances created many new industries and an enormous amount of startups and ultimately micro-cap public companies. I used to tell others back in the day to simply open their refrigerator or watch TV commercials for investment ideas, but the markets have come a long way from that. However, it doesn't hurt to pay attention. Your next new investing idea may be right in front of your face, and you don't know it yet. In the meantime, pay attention to the news, what you're consuming on a daily basis, and all your surroundings for that matter. Opportunity is abound.
Thank you all for tuning in to the Planet Microcap podcast, and thank you, Tom, again for coming on to the program. You can access the podcast by going on to stocknewsnow.com under podcast, go to podbean.com and search Planet Microcap podcast, or on iTunes and search Planet Microcap podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Planet Microcap podcast, where we'll have our next week in review, answer a new question from Ask Mr. Wall Street, and have another exciting guest to discuss all things microcap. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, or you have a question for Ask Mr. Wall Street, please send an email to info@stocknewsnow.com. I'd love to hear from all of you. This podcast has been brought to you by SNN Incorporated, publishers of stocknewsnow.com, the official microcap news source, and the Microcap Review magazine. I'm your host, Robert Kraft, and thank you again for joining me on the Planet Microcap podcast. Have a great week, everyone.